This Sunday marks the second week of Advent, the start of the Christian church year and the prelude to Christmas. It's also the 100th anniversary of Lansing's Roman Catholic Cathedral, St. Mary's, and here to tell us more current state's Kevin Lavery. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Mark. The cathedral actually predates the founding of the Lansing Diocese by 24 years. That was in 1937. When the cathedral was consecrated on December 8, 1913, the building was completely debt-free due to the donations of Catholics and non-Catholics alike. Now on Monday, the diocese is holding a special ceremony to recognize St. Mary's history and legacy. I took a tour a couple of days ago of the cathedral with Monsignor George McCulloch. He has been the official diocesan historian for the last 34 years, so as you can imagine, he knows every brick and candle in the building. The first fact that I learned is that St. Mary's technically is not the cathedral's real name.
The official name is the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception because it was consecrated on December 8, 1913 to the Blessed Virgin Mary of the Immaculate Conception. They called it St. Mary's Parish, and St. Mary's is always stuck. It's easier to answer the phone that way, too.
What can you tell us about when this beautiful structure was dedicated?
In 1910, they began excavating, and in 1911, on the 4th of July, they laid the cornerstone. We did it on the 4th of July because there was a lot of anti-Catholic sentiment at that point, that you couldn't be a good Catholic and still be a good American because you had this allegiance to a foreign power, the Pope. So we did everything on the 4th of July with plenty of flags, proving that we could be good Catholics and good Americans at the same time. And I interviewed a priest who later became pastor here, and he was a son of this parish, and he was a server at the cornerstone laying in 1911. And he said that whatever orator they brought in, some famous priest, you could hear him for 2 miles away. I think he exaggerated. It's probably more like 2 blocks. The gentleman was in his 80s when I interviewed him. So
the story gets embellished over time.
Yeah, it gets better, with every retelling.
Well, right now we are on the main floor of the cathedral in what is loosely called the mini museum, and there are stained glass depictions of the life of Christ here. But there's also many photographs here. There's a table in front of us with a lot of black and white photographs. Any of these particularly significant?
Well, the one here that shows the rose window, the framework of the rose window being elevated above the main door, that was taken probably in 1912 sometime. You also see somehow they had some kind of steam-motivated hoist that they were using to move things up. And you see a lot of people pointing their fingers up that it's got to clear the top of the door. And then this is summer of 1913 when they're still working on the towers. And the style of the church is Norman Gothic. And many of the great Gothic cathedrals have towers that are of varying heights, not the same. And the priest who was the pastor here at the time, speaking of Norman Gothic, was Father Lafayette Isidore Branchot, French-Canadian, obviously. Born in Monroe, big French community. 18 members of his family are going to be here Monday night for the concluding Mass.
There are a few people in the church who are praying, so maybe we should be as quiet as possible, as church mice, as it were. Is there possibly a way to see some of these architectural examples?
Certainly.
This building is in very good shape for 100 years.
Yes. It takes a lot of upkeep, a lot of upkeep. And obviously it needs a new paint job, but it also needs other things first, like rewiring so that we could put in air conditioning. And
there's no air conditioning in this church?
No. Well, there is some in the sanctuary. So that's an incentive to sit up close to the front, which is un-Catholic. Always fill in from the back. This is the nativity window, the great window of the cathedral. And it has on the left-hand side the three kings, on the right-hand side the shepherds. And way up in the window are the golden-winged cherubim singing. These windows on the upper level and the life of Mary, these five windows, and the water windows in the baptistry all came from Munich, Germany, we think from the studio of Franz Mayer. Unfortunately, we lost records in 1938. We had a fire in the rectory, almost killed off the bishop. He had to be taken to the hospital for a week from smoke inhalation. The first bishop was an army chaplain in World War I and gassed in the trenches and didn't have a lot of lung strength. So he was easily overcome and had to be hospitalized. But because of the water damage, we lost the records of when the windows were actually purchased in the mid-20s or early 20s. We do know that these smaller windows, the Life of Mary and the water windows, each cost $100 a piece when they were installed.
Again, in the 1920s?
Yes, in the 1920s. The windows are evaluated at well over $1.5 million now.
Do I understand correctly, Monsignor, that there are also relics in this church?
Yes, there are relics that were in the original 1913 altar. And because an altar has to have a relic of a martyr, because that's where the tradition came from of having relics in an altar, that they celebrated the sacrifice of the Mass over the bones of the martyrs in the catacombs in Rome. So we have a relic of Lawrence the Deacon. We also have a relic of St. Dominic, and we have a relic of St. Barbara. In the original 1913 church, there were three steps up to a sedalia level, which was where the priest sat, and then there were another three steps up to the altar level where we're at now. And in this 1967 renovation, they put another set of steps up to the bishop's chair, and no one's to sit in that except the bishop, except when little kids come in and run up there and sit down. So
that's where I was going, and you got me there. You've already got it.
It happens all the time. But no one else is supposed to sit there. The priest can't sit there. They have to sit other chairs because that is the seat of the bishop, and he teaches, governs, and guides us.
Do these emblems mean that much to the everyday Catholic?
Probably not, but they're rich symbols if they would think about them. I always said you should never be bored in a Catholic church because there's always something to study, whether it's the windows or the coat of arms or whatever. There's something to contemplate because there's rich tradition.
Monsignor, Monday there will be a celebration of the church's centennial here. What will happen on Monday and when?
Well, there'll be a Mass at 6 p.m., and Bishop Boyer will be the celebrant and the homilist, and Bishop Mengling will be here, the former bishop of Lansing, and it'll be a wonderful liturgy. The cathedral choir will perform the music, and the prelude music is pieces that would have been sung by the choir in 1913 by composers, and one of the pieces, the Schubert Ave Maria, was done during the 1913 celebration.
Monsignor George McCulloch is the diocesan historian and archivist for the Catholic Diocese of Lansing. Monsignor, thank you for this great tour of St. Mary Cathedral and happy centennial anniversary.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. God bless you.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.